In this episode of Bear Podcast,
the Greek Festival,
Rice Queens,
laboratory grown penises in 5 years,
and a menu from a London brothel.
All this and more coming up next. Bear Podcast, 538.
Hey, all you bears!
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get some scrub there fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is fun and cute while it lasts.
Two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 538, and it's October 7th, Tuesday.
Tuesday, 2014.
Yes.
On this day, 16 years ago, October 7th, 1998, Aaron Kreffels was riding his bike through a field in Wyoming. He found what he thought was a scarecrow against a fence until he saw blood. Matthew Shepard had been tied to a fence and left to die.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Wait, how was it?
16 years ago,
yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of things have changed in 16 years.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot.
A whole lot.
And especially more states you can get married in now.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there's about 30 states that you can get married now for a gay marriage, right?
Gay marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So things are really, really
so it's a lot of change from people being, not that people still don't get the shit beat out of them for being gay. I mean, I look at the Philadelphia stuff that happened a couple of weeks ago, but
yeah,
this is probably the one that stands out the most that most people remember is the one that happened to Matthew Shepard. So
yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, it's a good day to remember. So actually, I just want to do an update from last weekend. Actually, I went to a celebration of life for Doug Pritchard. I don't know if you met him before, but
yep.
He has the celebration of life for Doug was at the Bradshaw Center here in Alabama Street and near in the Montrose area. And we had a get together. There were lots of bears who went there, mostly from softball, and there are lots of friends of Doug. So my thoughts and prayers go to Dean, his partner, and their family. And we dedicate this episode to the memory of Doug Pritchard. Okay, so let's do this this last weekend. After the celebration of life for Doug, we went to Greek Festival. You got
drunk first because you said you were at Chewy's.
We went to Chewy's. Yeah, we went to Chewy's and had margaritas. That's right. Yeah.
And then you went from Mexican to Greek.
I know, right? I just had a margarita and that's it. I didn't want to eat there. I had chips, but I was really more in the mood to eat Greek food. Actually, I had Mexican the night before because it was a Saturday. Yeah, Friday. Yeah, I met up with my friend Phil from Ohio. So, yeah, shout out Phil.
Is he Mexican?
No, he's not. He's white. But then,
you ate him.
Yeah, I didn't. No, but we ate Mexican that night, Saturday, Friday night.
Do I know him?
I forgot that name. It's a fine dining Tex-Mex restaurant in near the Galleria. Actually, it's near River Oaks area, I guess.
Okay.
But anyway, I forgot the name. Anyway, so it's a nice place. Good food. We ate fajitas and some good sides. The usual size that you get with fajitas. So we did that, and we went bar hopping. We went to the Eagle, JR's, George's, and Ripcord. Yeah, pretty cool.
No South Beach.
Oh. South Beach is a dance bar here.
It's a
twink dance bar in Houston. So, yeah, like I said, I didn't want to eat Mexican food because I already ate Mexican the night before. So we went Greek. So what do you think of the food? What did you eat? You didn't line up for anything.
Well, I ate some souvlaki.
Okay.
And that was it because the lines were so long. It's the first time I've ever been to the Greek festival.
Really? I thought you've always gone.
No. First time I ever went, and it was way too damn crowded and way too many people in too small of an area. They basically block off a block in Houston and have the Greek festival at the Greek Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
And it's right there all around St. Thomas University. And St. Thomas is a pretty decent sized school. You think they would expand it some, but they didn't. It's the parking lot of the church, basically, and the street across from it, and the church is on the other block. So it was just a lot of people crammed into one small space.
You know, I
and alcohol was involved.
More wine, actually.
Well, it's still alcohol. Wine and beer.
Alcohol.
There's still a bunch of drunk, crazy white people around there. There's a lot of Greek Asians, I saw.
Greek Asians?
Yes.
How can they be Greek Asians?
Well, they're at the Greek festival, and they were Asian, so they must be Greek Asians.
Okay. Greek by injection.
Maybe.
Maybe. So we ate there. I had one of those plates. Those cost about $14. Give me $14. And then they put this ziti, baked ziti type. It's like pasta and everything. These meatballs and vegetables and some cotopita, things like that. You know, one of those with the soft wrappers.
Yeah. There are a couple apart. Different choices for the plates.
Yeah. So Gary and Andrew there.
Yeah, they were there. Got to see them briefly. I think I saw them when me and you first got there and met up and we saw them, and that was the last time I saw them because I went to go find Robbie and the crew that I was with. So,
yeah, it was fun. However, you know what, Ray? I don't think I'm going to do it again. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think I'm going to do it again. It's too many. It's too crowded.
It's just
and
too
people.
Crowded. The lines are so long. You wait for about 20 minutes just to get food. I mean, I don't know. I just don't enjoy it that much anymore. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, that's why. we know why. Hot. And the music is okay, you know.
Yeah.
Traditional Greek music, I guess. Yeah. And, you know, you're just there to eat and go.
And drink.
And basically. Drink.
So.
There's nothing much to do.
And there's not that much room to go sit down and eat and drink.
Yes, I had to look for a table.
Thing. You had to, like, stand and do everything, and it's kind of hard to do that. But, so.
Yeah. So actually, after that, so Greek festival. After that, I got to see Mark. You remember Mark? He's got this Mark and Kevin. Mark.
Yeah.
He's got a Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
It's a cute dog. He got dog napped.
Did he get dog napped, or did Grandma let Mama let the dog out the house?
Not out the house. She couldn't keep up, and she was walking the dog, and then when the dog came out, went out of reach. She was trying to chase the dog because it got loose from the leash.
Yeah.
And somebody almost hit him, hit the dog, hit her, Sugar. And then I think the guy went out of the car and took the dog. And then it went away. Got dog napped.
Was it an Asian guy?
No. I know what you're thinking. I know where you're leading to.
I first saw the post on Facebook, I was like, Wayne, did you cook last night?
Oh, God. That's so mean.
Yes, Wayne, I'm talking about you.
That's so mean. So anyway, they were handing out flyers. I wish you could do something about it.
Yeah.
They were handing out flyers because, you know, at some point, he's going to get scanned. He's chipped. She's chipped. I mean,
well, good. Sugar's I mean, chipped. If they chipped and he's got his ID stuff up to date, because I just had Manny's updated. Paid for another renewal for the year for it to get scanned.
See, that's the problem, though. What if the guy doesn't even, the one who stole the dog, doesn't even go to the vet or something? Because she needs meds. This poor dog.
I don't know. I mean, it's weird that somebody would stop and pick the dog up if they see somebody chasing after it.
I know. That's really awful. I mean, I feel so bad that the dog got dog napped.
So,
mm-hmm. So yeah, that's... Mark, I hope you do get Sugar soon.
Yeah.
It's really sad to lose a dog. I mean, which is better? I mean, if you have a dog die or stolen from you.
Well, see, in that case, you don't know what happened. You don't know if the dog's out laying somewhere hurt and you can't find him, or somebody took him and the dog's happier than he's ever been, or whatever. I mean, it's just one of those weird things.
So. Yeah.
But somebody shouldn't be taking the damn dog. They should have looked at grabbed the dog, and if they saw her screaming and running for it, then they should have stopped. But it sounded like they probably went and did something to the dog.
I know. It's really sad. But anyway, you went to Dim Sum.
I went to Dim Sum Sunday. Robbie and I went to Dim Sum, and then we went and saw Gone Girl. Have you seen it yet?
No. How was it?
Awesome.
Is it a comedy?
No, it is not a comedy.
What is it? It's a...
It is psychological drama.
Oh, okay.
And Ben Affleck got a big old dick. I'm just saying.
No way.
Way, because he goes full frontal in there.
No way.
You also see Neil Patrick Harris's. His doesn't look as big.
Wait.
Tell because of all the
Neil Patrick Harris, full frontal nudity. Ben Affleck, full frontal nudity.
It's only for an instant. You got to be awake because I blinked when the scene happened. Apparently, I missed it.
No way.
But everybody was like, it was huge. It's a big old thick dick.
So you're saying Ben Affleck is Batman. You saw Batman's dick.
Yes.
And then Neil Patrick Harris is Hedwig in the Angry Inch. And it's more than an inch.
Yes, it's more than an inch.
Oh, wow.
I assume when it's hard. It's kind of hard to tell with all the blood on it.
Oh, it's bloody? Oh. Okay.
See, that's what you get for having sex with those women when they're on the rag. I'm just saying. But anyway, go see Gone Girl, Fantasy, or read the damn book. The book's even better. So,
okay.
I highly recommend it. It's a great movie. It's almost 2 hours and 45 minutes long, but it's like, if you don't know the book and you're sitting there watching it, it's like kind of keeps you on the end of your seat. And the ending is just like, what the hell? But anyway, so.
All right.
So on to topics.
This is on topics. This is the topic I like. Thank you, Ray, for picking
Rice Queens.
Rice Queens. I love Rice Queens.
Well, you know, last week we talked about the Asian and white guy, muscle white guy.
Yeah.
Well, this is the same bitter party of one Asian that wrote this blog. So okay. I'm going to try to see if I can find out how to get in touch with this guy so maybe we can get him on the show so we can have bitter on the show because he's just a bitter Asian apparently.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Rice Queens. If y'all don't know what Rice Queens are, here we go. A Rice Queen is both a friend and a foe for the gay Asian man. On one hand, he represents the opportunity to be with a white man, which is everybody's privilege, something so many Asians crave. On the other hand, due to his fundamental imbalance with the Asian white dating market, a relationship is unlikely to last. Bitter.
Oh, really?
So I have my own statements after this. We'll go through them. So, Rice Queen is a gay guy man who primarily or exclusively dates gay Asian men. Every gay Asian man needs to be on the high alert for Rice Queens. Either you'll end up with an ugly one that nobody else wants. I take offense to that. Or you'll constantly be fighting to keep him because there are umpteen other attractive gay Asians jostling for his attention. Never happened. It's rare that the Rice Queen will admit being one, but with a little bit of common sense and detective work, you can soon be a Rice Queen and a Rice Queen identifying expert. So
let's go with
let's not forget to talk about the Asians that jump from Rice Queen to Rice Queen to Rice Queen because none of them know how to be in a fucking relationship with somebody for a long term.
Yeah,
we're not gonna go into that.
Well, some are. There are some. Okay. All right. So let's do the five signs a gay white man is a whore is a Rice Queen.
Okay. He messaged you first.
Of course, that if you're in Growler or in Grindr.
If a gay white man messages an Asian first, he's probably a Rice Queen. most gay white men don't date Asians. Some of us do. But a small number of them, usually the most open-minded ones, have their first Asian experience. Then they become hooked on the Asian's boyish, youthful looks and smooth, hairless body. By the time he messages you, you're not his first and definitely won't be his last gay Asian adventure. Mainly because the Asian will probably date him and then start stepping out and dating other bears because there are so many few chaser Asians.
Yep. Okay. So now.
And you chaser, Asian chasers know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Number two is he has a lot of Asian friends, which is very, very common, I guess, among Rice Queens. Yep. So Asians are everywhere and it's nice to see interracial friendships blossoming. But if a disproportionate number of his friends are Asians, there is something more than a random selection going on. So further, if this profile picture features him as the only white guy among two or more Asians, you've got a smoking gun on your hand. So he's probably slept with many of these friends in the past. If you get involved, chances are you'll become part of his vast trophy collection.
The reason he has slept with all these so-called friends is because they're all whores.
They're all, well, they don't charge.
They don't charge.
They're so all they're sluts. Okay. All right.
And he couldn't get in a relationship with them because they're fucking around with everybody else. I'm just saying.
Bitter party one here.
Okay. His profile picture was taken in Asia. Asia's a Rice Queen's Mecca. I've never been to Asia.
I've been to Asia.
I've been to Chinatown. From the moment he steps off the plane and switches on Jack, his phone is on the brink of exploding with welcomes and invitations from gay Asians barely old enough to drive. No matter how old or ugly a rice queen is, he's a movie star in Asia. Visiting Asia is a rite of passage for rice queens. Those with the means will generally return at least once a year. I know some people like this. Rice queens who frequently travel to Asia are the most dangerous type. They're gleefully aware of how replaceable you are.
You doing what? Oh, my God. I hope my ex is not watching this. My ex is like that.
he's a rice queen then.
He's a big rice queen, and you know, as it says here, they're the dangerous type, as they're gleefully aware of how replaceable you are. Uh-huh. Oh my God. I remember my ex. Okay, so next one is, I don't believe this too much. Maybe not. I'm not sure. I have not encountered a rice queen this way. So number four is, he has Chinese characters in his profile. He might have a Chinese name or slip a few Chinese movie or book titles in his interests. In extreme cases, whole sections of his profile may be in Chinese characters, which you may not even be able to read. The rice queens are among the most sophisticated out there, really. He probably speaks Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Thai, Vietnamese, and better than you. And run, don't walk away. Keep away from these guys. He's a rice queen who's so experienced at his art, he's learned to do it in your language. Yeah, it is dangerous because they know if you're talking about him because he can understand what you're saying.
Especially the FOBs.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take offense to number five. He's a lot older than you.
He's a lot older than you.
A rice queen could be around your age, but chances are he'll be at least 10 years older than you. Since his desirability only drops slightly with age, a rice queen can, even at fairly advanced ages, land himself a grade A Gaysian.
I may have offended a lot of my Asian friends right now. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, I'm just saying, Asians are friends. Asians and really old men. Y'all know who I am talking about.
Which reminds me, next year, Asians and Friends Houston is going to host the International Friendship Weekend in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be lots of Asians. And rice queen and old and Asians and their friends in New Orleans this weekend.
You rarely see young Asian guys with other young Asian guys. You see this really young Asian guy who, and I usually find, and don't get offended by some of my friends saying this, but some of the Asian men with the older gay men are not as attractive as this guy's portraying them to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I'll hook on to me an older man that's got money, can take care of me type Asian.
I know about that.
I don't know.
It's pretty rare.
I don't know. I got that sense from several of my close friends. Well, I don't know about close friends, but mutual friends. So they got them a sugar daddy. So anyway, what do y'all think about if you're a rice queen? I know some of the bears out there are rice queens, but in my experience, when I used to date Asians, my experience was there was always another bear, and they were jumping from bed to bed to bed to bed. And they didn't want to sit down and have a relationship.
Sluts. I got something to say about that.
And that's because there are fewer chasers than there are bears, even though chasers always bitch about, oh, no bear likes me. Well, that's because you can't stick with one. Maybe find one that likes you and stick with them and quit bed jumping. You'd be okay.
Yeah. So I have something very – I'm an expert on rice queens. I think I am an expert because, you know, not that I'm, you know, I just know my rice queen. So this is what I've learned. There are three kinds of rice queens, aside from these lists that you have. There are three kinds of rice queen. The first one is he likes Asians, the usual. Yeah, he just, you know, he prefers Asians, but Asian guys and everything, but doesn't necessarily eat Asian food. They just like the guys, you know, maybe have sex with them or date them, whatever. The second kind of rice queen is that he understands the Asian culture. So he's just around with, he's got Asian friends and everything, and he eats Asian food and everything. Yeah, it's good. The third kind of rice queen is he thinks he's Asian, meaning he can speak the language. He wears kimonos.
You walk into his house, it looks like something off of a set of a Japanese horror movie.
Exactly. He almost thinks that he's Asian. So those are three kinds of rice queens that I know. So, yeah. What do you guys think? Let us know.
Okay. On to entertainment. We talked about Gone Girl. I also watched The Signal this weekend at the house with Robbie.
How was that Sunday night?
It came out. It was kind of like a sci-fi horror type movie where these kids are out and this other, who thinks hacker, hacks into them and is like keeps harassing them. So they're like, they figure out where he is. So they go to his house to harass him.
All right.
And they get there and then weird shit starts happening.
Okay.
Like there's nobody in the house. It's abandoned. And then all of a sudden you hear somebody screaming and they go outside and the girl that's with him flies up into the air. And then the guy wakes up and they're in like Area 51 or something.
It's a signal, huh?
The signal. And it's a very weird. It's kind of slow and it's kind of weird. And I still hadn't figured it all out what exactly the whole thing was. But if anybody else has seen it, call in and leave me a message or shoot me an email about what you think about The Signal. I thought it was a good storyline. It was a little slow, but I couldn't quite figure out exactly what they were trying to get across in this movie. it just didn't like come out and go bam upside your potato queen head, you know.
That's right. Rice queens are the white guys who like Asians, and potato queens are the Asians who like white guys. Yeah.
So, anyway, just announced today, Walking Dead, which is starts season 5 this Sunday, just renewed for 6th season. So they got renewed for next year already.
I'm really excited, and I heard that it's
and next year the spinoff show starts 2016.
The spinoff of what?
There's going to be another Walking Dead.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And this one picks up on the West Coast.
Oh, a totally different...
Totally different thing, and it's supposed to be about two families.
Okay.
That are together when the zombie apocalypse happens. So
that's interesting.
Should be interesting.
I wonder if that's also in the comic book. A second family.
I don't think so. I don't think so. At least what up to the 100-and-something episodes I've read, issues I've read, there's not been, so...
Okay.
For any of you Harry Potter fans, J.K. Rowling took a big shit on the internet on Twitter today, and everybody went wild.
I bet.
Did J.K.'s mystery tweet just reveal the return of Harry James Potter? So is Harry Potter coming back? J.K. Rowling has sent Harry Potter fans, including me, I'm reading this from the article, obviously crazy with her latest tweet where she dropped a gigantic riddle. Cry, foe, run amok, far away. My wand don't tolerate this nonsense. J.K. has surely picked up on the noise generated by her marauding riddle that would explain her reemergence a few hours later, a week ahead of schedule. Check out what she's tweeting now. This is in response to the tweet she had just done. The solution is the first sentence of a synopsis of Newt's story. It isn't part of the script, but it sets the scene. So somebody that knows a lot about J.K. Rowling says, J.K.'s riddle is the perfect anagram for Harry returns. Won't say any details now. A week off, no comment.
Oh, wow.
So the guy goes on and says, if J.K.'s really bringing Harry back, how could Harry return? And here's their three plot lines.
He's a teacher. Harry Potter, the teacher.
But he's not a teacher.
Oh, okay.
In the final episode of Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows, it shows him putting his kids on the train. But he's not a teacher at the school. He goes on to be an Aura. Yeah. We know that Harry becomes the head of the Aura office. It would be amazing to find out what other epic battles against evil Harry fought in. I mean, just look at how great he was as a kid. Imagine what he could do as a grown-up. Which I find it kind of weird because the whole reason Harry Potter made it as a child is because Hermione and Ron kept saving his ass. He never really seemed to learn magic. It was always Hermione doing the magic, and then he was just kind of on the sidelines.
He's just really lucky.
Yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Plot line 2, Harry Potter's origins, the tale of Godric's Hollow. Everyone loves a prequel, right? There's lots of detail in the Harry Potter canon about James and Lily Snape's story, but a proper school story about the Marauders leading up to Harry's birth and the betrayal of the Potters would be pretty magical.
Oh, you know what? That'd be awesome.
So
yes, that'd be a good, prequel. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Harry Potter and the Fantastic Beast. Sure, J.K. has confirmed that Newt Scamander's story begins in New York, decades before Harry Potter's birth. But the original book of Fantastic Beasts has a running commentary from Harry and his friends, much like the tales of the Beetle the Bard, has Dumbledore's thoughts on the source material. Film is a flexible medium, and there's no reason JK can't add in a bit of Harry into the upcoming Beast movie. So apparently they're making a movie out of Fantastic Beast.
Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah, it's like a little side story that she published.
Oh, okay.
I think, if I remember. And then Tales of the Beetle Bards, another side story she published after she got done with the Harry Potter stuff. And Tales of the Beast talks about all the mythical creatures in Harry Potter's world.
Okay.
So.
Interesting, because, yeah, it's been many, many years since we had a Harry Potter film.
A couple of years.
So I guess this is going to be a book. It would be nice if it's a book.
Well, it might. I'm sure it might be, or they might just be doing a movie off of a storyline that she's got written or something. You never know. So, okay. Anyway, Harry Potter fans, let's keep our fingers crossed that we get some more of Harry Potter. So, right. Or at least Harry Potter's world.
Yep.
So
I'm excited about that. If that happens, I would read that or watch it.
For more of you more mature people over 40, here's a great announcement today. Showtime's revival of Twin Peaks.
Is it a revival or a reboot or something?
Revival.
A revival, okay.
When Laura Palmer's ghost, played by Cheryl Lee, appeared to FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper, Kyle MacLachlan, in the mysterious Black Lodge and promised, "I'll see you again in 25 years, Twin Peaks fans didn't know until this week that she may have meant it literally.
So it is 25 years.
The news yesterday that Showtime will be bringing Twin Peaks back to television for a 9-episode run, with all the episodes to be directed by David Lynch and written by Lynch and Peaks co-creator Mark Frost, qualified as a surprise, partly due to Lynch's long hiatus from filmmaking, as well as Lynch's often quoted comments, "It's dead as a doornail." So,
I never really watched Twin Peaks. I may have watched a few episodes.
Yeah,
I watched a few episodes where there's a bear.
Well, here's the deal: I remember watching it. I remember going to see the movie Firewalk or something like that after that, but that was 20-something years ago, and I can't remember the complete storyline. I remember that there was a ghost in the Black Lodge, and there were some other weird things that went on in Twin Peaks, but I can't remember the whole story. I just remember how crazy I was about it.
Yeah, okay. The only ones I watched really was the one with Walter Alkowitz. He's a bear, and that's probably the only episodes I watched.
But I'm sure that we'll be doing a 25-year release of the DVDs of the show and the movie.
So remastered,
so you can pick it up here before it comes out. So
okay.
The press release among the show's revival and new interview with Frost suggests that the action will take place in present-day Twin Peaks. But there's time, and then there's David Lynch time. It seems inconceivable that they won't tie up loose ends left over from Twin Peaks, abbreviated run on ABC and Firewalk with Me, which kind of closed, shut some stuff down. And it would be disappointing if Lynch didn't use flashbacks or dreams to update us on Leland Palmer, Ray Wise, who's likely still trapped in the Black Lodge and without a physical body in the real world.
Okay.
So, they're assuming that most of the main characters will be coming back.
But, you know, Twin Peaks, it's out on DVD, right? Or do you think I'd watch it on Amazon Prime?
It might be on Amazon. I don't know.
It's one of those things of David Lynch that I want to watch it. It's just that I'm really backlogged with a lot of movies right now.
But I figured, TV shows. I'm sure either Netflix or iTunes or somebody, you'll be able to go watch it before the new season comes out on Showtime. And I think this is, 2016 they said?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's 2016 it's coming out. So.
Okay, so.
Or maybe end of 2015, so.
All right. Looks interesting.
Yep.
I should watch the old ones now. Should we go to the events?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the events. Thank you for posting this, Ray. So Wild Bear Weekend, October 10 to 13 in Vancouver, BC.
So that's this weekend, peeps. Get your acts together.
Yeah. So join Honeypot Productions in celebrating and raising money for Camp Moomba with a bunch of fun events aimed to please and tease you. Wild Bear is a weekend of affiliated, like-minded events that work together to help promote and raise money for Camp Moomba. Interesting name. As this weekend is not one producer putting all of the events, the weekend tends to ebb and flow naturally with the participation of the other promoters and venues. Watch this event page for additional information and the changes on the information in the upcoming events. So go to mnevents.ca/wildbear.html. So we'll put the links on the website for guests to check out.
Yeah, and that's happening this weekend.
Yeah, this is happening this weekend.
And they had a bunch of interesting stuff planned on the schedule, so it might be interesting to check out if you're up in Vancouver.
All right. Hello, everyone. Sorry earlier. We have about 20 minutes of video difficulty, so yeah. So the audio is pretty good. So
you have to throw up old pictures to flash up.
Yeah, I'll probably
You can find some Rice Queens.
Rice Queens.
To put up and flash.
Pictures of Rice Queens. Like that. Okay, so on with the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay, the gay this week. Now, this dude, in honor of the Supreme Court saying, screw you guys, go ahead with gay marriage this week, and five states being added into the list of states that you can get wed in, this guy proposed to his boyfriend in the most ultimate way.
And you would shit your pants. Or Ray would have loved this too.
I would have loved this if somebody asked me to marry them like this. But he got proposed to on the bridge of the Enterprise D. So that's the true Jean-Luc Picard engage.
Yes, that's right. So this was it's the bridge. It's a replica of the bridge on what's everyone
Enterprise
D, right?
D.
Enterprise D. So it's pretty cool. Because both are bears. I think they're British, so they're pretty cool. And the redhead he's a redhead, right? Or blonde? What is he?
I can't tell. They're both dark haired. I think one's got a little reddish brown hair. So
yeah, so he's the one.
But where's this bridge at? I mean, where is this set at?
I think it was at probably a convention there, or either that or a Star Trek, just like the similar to the one in the Hilton.
Well, before the one doesn't exist anymore.
I know, but back then, yes. like in the Hilton back then, yeah. So I have maybe it's their Star Trek exhibit there.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. So we have to read some of the of the comments here. Of course, yeah. My number one is engage. Okay, what's a good one, Ray?
To bow the go, where only men in 19 states have gone before. Well, now 24 states can do it.
That's right. And there are comments like, he's a red shirt, so
don't get it. Because the guy in the picture has got red on.
So. He's got red on. And of course, I'm live long and prosper.
That's right.
Of course.
Looks like you're no longer flying Sulu.
Yeah, that is bad. Never longer. So,
how long did Takei repost this?
Yeah, George Takei will be posting. Well,
which I think he did.
He probably did already. Yeah. And kapla, that's success in Klingon.
And way to make it so with your number one.
Yes. So
pretty good quotes.
Pretty good quotes. One more. One of the favorites here is actually set course for Uranus. I like that.
Set course for Uranus.
Mm-hmm. And some...
this one's pretty funny. I'm sure you and Zach Galifianakis will be very happy because the guy looks like Zach.
Yeah, he does look like Zach Galifianakis.
There's bears in space. May the force be with you.
Oh, no, that is wrong. May the force be with you.
What is it like to be able to share a wardrobe with your significant other?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because that's what some of the articles were saying. They were interviewed by BuzzFeed, I think. It would be nice to have them in the show. Yeah. But anyway, so one of my comments is actually, so now they can join the Lightyear High Club.
The Warp Club.
Yeah. Lightyear High Club. But I don't know.
A good one. Now, this is how that episode where Riker is cloned by the transporter should have ended.
Oh, okay.
Which is the episode in Star Trek Next Generation where Riker got cloned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so we'll put the list on the website. That's pretty gay, kind of geeky too.
Geeky.
It's kind of geeky too because, you know, it's proposal, managed proposal on the bridge of the Enterprise. Okay, next one. Geek. Here's the geek article.
Okay. Now, before you even start this article, so we've been talking about penis size and how penis makes better, what penis sizes make better lovers.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
If we're happy about dicks
so
and everything.
So, if this is true, how soon before everybody starts going and getting new penises?
Maybe as soon as possible. Maybe.
So, does this mean that when this... Well, here, go ahead and read the article.
Okay, here we go. Rude-ass geek. Comment. Laboratory grown penises will be available in 5 years. Say researchers. So no snark here, dear readers. We sincerely hope you never lose a body part, of course, especially not one of your reproductive organs. In the event that you do suffer a terrible accident, or if you were born with some kind of abnormality, or maybe you just want to have something replaced, there's a team of researchers dedicated to making sure patients not only recover their organs, but go on to live normal lives. That group comes from Wake Forest Institute of Regenerative Medicine, where scientists are not only working on lab-grown vaginas, but also testing laboratory-made penises. If all goes according to plan, they should be ready for use in about 5 years. So that's an optimistic claim that it could take 5 years for this technique to reach real-world patients. So incredibly enough, too, the scientists' research is based on studies of rabbits, of all things. Of course, rabbits.
So you want a rabbit penis, so it's like...
In their trials, the researchers cleansed the donor penis in detergent to remove all the living cells. What? Leaving behind a collagen frame where scientists then need penile cells harvested from the patient himself. So these include smooth muscles, muscle cells, and endothelial cells, which are necessary to erect for erectile function. Yeah, so if to make it short, if successful, this would mean a higher quality of life for men unfortunate to be born with an abnormal penis, maybe guys with hypospadias. Yeah, anyway, I think they're happy with this anyway. So to suffer a catastrophic injury, as Vice notes, penile replacement surgeries currently involve encasing a prosthetic with skin taken from the patient's arm or thigh. Only with this new procedure would men be able to regain erectile function. It's worth nothing. It's worth noting, however, that precisely because this method requires the use of the patient's own penile cells, it won't be of use to transgender female-to-male patients hoping to undergo sex reassignment surgery. So at least they
Why
can...
Why not?
Well, that's the point. What they do is they use your own cells. If you're male...
So, but the cells down there are pretty much the same. I mean, they do sexual reassignment surgery for women.
It's coming from their own penis. The cells that they grow the lab-grown dicks is from your own penis. So,
look, if they're going to make money with this shit, they're going to figure out how to make it so if a woman wants to be reassignment surgery, she can have a big dick. They will make money off of it. Same thing is, if a guy comes in and has a little penis and wants a big dick, and they can grow him they can go through and say, oh, I want this porn star's dick, and they can grow him a dick like that, it will make money.
Like Jeff Stryker, right?
Jeff Stryker. I want Jeff Stryker's dick. Everybody in America have fucking Jeff Stryker's dick. And they will make tons of money out of it. It'll be just like fucking Viagra.
I know. So, what if it's a transgender, a female to male, they can use the vagina cells, I guess, to produce the dick?
Take the parts of the vagina and remodel it and remold it into a penis, and it's usually a small penis.
Yeah, but if you do that, I mean, with this technique, maybe it should help. I don't know. I was thinking.
But maybe that what they can start doing is taking all those penises that men have for sexual reassignment surgery from where they go from male to female, and use those penises to be the bases for the female to male models, and hopefully they can pull the cells they need out of the female's vagina to make it grow and mold to the penis.
Well, right now we are theorizing. I don't know how they're doing it.
Look, if they want to make money, this is what they're going to do. They're just talking bullshit now that we're going to help these people that have difficulties with this, that, and the other. They're fucking medical. It's a medical team doing this. They're out to make money.
Yeah. Imagine that. Everybody's got a Jeff Stryker dick. Anyway, so. Okay, next article. Let's go to the bizarre ray.
Okay. A menu from a London brothel from 1912. The dirtiest thing you will read all day. Okay, let me open this link so I can read it. Come on. Open link. Open in Safari. Okay. Now let me expand this so I can read it up in here.
All right. So this is a menu from London brothel. It's a menu, but...
Yeah.
There's some corrections on this one, I guess. Yeah. Go ahead.
The following are a few specialities. French fashion with finger and asshole, $3.50. Common old-fashioned fuck, $2.50. So you can just fuck for $2.50. I don't know what the French fashion is, but maybe the girls, while she's getting fucked, she's reaching around, sticking her finger up the guy's asshole. I don't know.
Diddling on the edge of the bed with one foot on the floor.
$2. Let's call it Costco. Yeah, one foot's got to be on the floor. Fucking the breast with tits tight. It looks like a dollar.
Yeah, that's titty fucking, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blowing the asshole, new style. Which I guess that's a woman blowing on the man's asshole, which is $1.70. Finger fucking with juice, 50 cents.
What the fuck is that? Finger fucking with juice?
So I guess you can finger fuck a woman for like juice or something. So your finger smells like pussy and cherries all day or something. I don't know. Do it doggy style. It's $2.80.
No. You have to be specific. It's called dog fashion.
Well, that's what it was called then. Now we call it doggy style.
It says doggy style now.
If you want a dry boob hump, it's 49 cents. They couldn't round it off to a total 50 cent because it was just a dry boob.
That's a song by Psy, right? Like, Opa doggy style. No, it's not.
Sitting on prick, shoveling in stones and all. And stones at that.
One female suck off. Stones in mouth. What is it? They're talking about balls. It's balls, stones.
So this means her sitting on top of you and riding and getting your balls up in her vagina for $2.59. One female suck off stones in mouth is $2.59.
One fuck 10 minute soak?
$2.65. I guess you get a bath before you get a fuck.
Okay, I get it. Okay. I thought it's a different okay. So if you get a shower.
Oh, that might be, I don't know.
Or you know, so
it's some of the stuff.
Pinky special. Under fucking woman on top. Tits in your face with extra lady to play with your balls while blowing wind up your asshole with goose quill.
$30.
$30.
Actually, this is pounds.
No, that's the point. It's not in pounds. That's the comments in here.
Oh, it's not
the comments here. They're saying it's a New Orleans brothel.
Oh,
that's why it's that cheap.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're saying. I mean, it's an old. Right. But then it's
so if you're really broke, you can watch a fucking match, woman to jerk you off for 75 cents, so you can get a hand job.
Oh, a hand job for 75 cents. Okay.
So they'll squat on your prick for 62 cents, but you can't come. Your prick suck while sucking a woman's cunt, $6.
Oh, that's pricey.
Made to rub your tool hard on.
Hard on guard.
For 75 cents. Free back scuttling while a woman rubs your nuts with a feather. Must stay out of poop hole. $3.85.
Stay away from poop hole.
Asshole fucking for men over 45, $1.
So what if it's younger?
So here's the deal. I don't know. Is this old men fucking girls up the asshole for over 45 or the men getting fucked up the asshole?
Asshole fucking for men over 45. See, that's the point. That could be the gay sex there. Asshole fucking for men. Or maybe it's the girl getting fucked. I don't know.
Boob cocks and flat pricks extra, 50 cents.
So yeah, it's an interesting image.
Bob cocks and flat pricks. So maybe that's toys.
Yeah.
No discount for cash. Stick fingers and jerk off matinees for young men under 21 every Wednesday from 2:30 to 4. Customers must enter with cash in one hand and tool in the other. If you're not self-starter, stay at home and jack yourself off.
Cash in one hand, tool in the other. Nice. Maybe I should make that the title of the show. Anyway, so yeah, it's an interesting old book, I guess. It's a menu of some sort. Yeah. Put the links on the website. Let us know what you think. All right, so
we got some feedback.
Yes, we got some feedback.
We got a voicemail. Oh my god! Somebody finally called in. We're so excited. And we got an email.
Yeah, let's do the email first.
We get so excited when we get feedback.
So let's go. Let's read Marcus's email first. So thanks for this episode, Nard. He's talking about last week's episode 537, where the title is Asian profiles versus white profiles. So he says, thanks for this episode, Nard. I'm a regular listener of the podcast. The segment on Asian versus white profiles was quite provocative. It's a conversation that needs to be had. I think, but desire is so tricky. As a black non-bear guy who is attracted to both Asians and bears, ooh, I feel a little outside the usual loops in these conversations. But we like who we like, right? Sadly, the people we're attracted to are generally not attracted to us.
That's generally the truth.
Yes, that's true. That's my experience anyway. I guess that's life. Yeah, still being rejected over what you are or over what you're not. Well, kind of sucks. I agree with you. I get that a lot too. You know, people won't even talk to me. I'm Mr. Cellophane for some bears. They don't even acknowledge you or even notice that you're there. I get that a lot. I mean, you know, because I'm not their type, I become invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have any problem with that, Ray, because either bears.
Yeah, that's my problem. All the bears wanted me. None of the chasers and people I was attracted to wanted me.
Yeah.
I just was never attracted to bears. So.
Yeah. So there you go, Ray. Yeah.
So, which is kind of funny because now I'm married to a bearish guy, pretty much.
Yeah, that's true.
So. It's amazing what works out, what love makes you do.
Yeah. All right.
Or
so
sneaks up on you and does to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's a voicemail that we got. It's amazing. Is this?
Hi, Ray. Hi, Nard. This is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Known as Deliverance 72 from North Carolina.
Okay.
I don't know how long I've got, but I just wanted to leave you a little short story and a request. Back in the mid-90s, cargo planes used to sell out their seats and stuff. They only usually had about one or two. And I used to do that. You could fly pretty much anywhere in the United States for like $25 to $75, just depending on where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to get one seat on there. And we were flying, and we had a problem with the fuel line. And we stopped off at this little rinky-dink little airport. And they had to order the part in, which took about 6 hours. And literally some guy jumped in a truck and ran to another county to pick up the part.
Okay.
But anyway, while we were there, you know, it was just me and the pilot. And we had a really good time. I mean, it was excellent. He had a blow-up bed, and he threw it out in the back of the plane. And we just went at it for like 2 or 3 hours.
Ooh, impressive.
I mean, that was about that doesn't really count as a mile high story because we were on the ground. But anyway, it was in a plane, and it was about the best plane ride I've ever had. Anyway, had a request. A lot of my friends listen to this show, and you have the gay geek and the bizarre, and we'd like to sort of extend the geek part of it to an app of the week. And, you know, each one of you would have your own app that you're using at the time. And, you know, it'd be great to get requests or, you know, other people tell them what their app is. And I'd love to hear your app and, you know, see how that goes for a while. Anyway, just thought it'd be a good segment you could add to it. And it's a short one. And again, we love listening to the show and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Brian from North Carolina.
Brian, yeah. He's emailed us or called in before a long time ago on
you
something.
Know.
And I'm trying to remember what it was now.
His Deliverance 72. Yeah, he messaged us before. But first, I should say first, Brian, hot accent. I love Southern accents. That's why I keep Ray around, see?
Yeah, just so he can listen to me
call. Yeah, okay. So, just to answer your question, yeah, about that, is that considered a Mile High Club? No, because you're not in the air, but you're in an airplane. That's impressive, though.
Yeah.
How often can you do it in an airplane?
On an air mattress.
On an air mattress.
So
in
if
an
you're
airplane.
On an air mattress, does that mean you're on air too? You're in the air?
That's right. You're a 6-inch high club, right? Because you're just, you know, just a few inches from the ground.
Yeah. Unless it's an air mattress off Craigslist and it's 8 inches when it's more like 4.
Oh, okay. So yeah, no, it's not a Mile High Club, no. But it's impressive though that you were doing it for 2 to 3 hours.
Well, there's nothing to do while you're sitting at the airport.
Who's got time for that? No, I'm kidding. For some
you're
people.
Sitting in a plane, you ain't got nothing else to do. I guess that's a good way to kill time.
Don't you breathe? Like, you know.
And that was a while ago before everybody had Facebook on the phones.
I know, right? So you imagine that they, you know, they're. Yeah, if you have Facebook, and then you'll just be distracted that way. But then 2 hours straight without any other distraction, just waiting for the other guy to bring the parts for the airplane. Impressive. Two and a half, two, 3 hours. Wow. That must have been really fun. Okay. So to answer your other question about mobile app recommendations, that's a good idea if we have a segment like that. Well, once in a while, we can bring in something.
I don't do much enough with apps anymore to do one, but I guess every now and then I'd find something to talk about.
But well, okay, right now, what out of the blue app that you have right now on your phone?
No, I don't use any apps on my phone.
Not even?
Other than Facebook.
Facebook, that's it. So that's your recommendation.
My banking app, Facebook.
Banking app. Okay, there you go. Banking app.
Rhapsody.
You have Rhapsody. So, there you go.
I mean, most of those people already know about those. They've been around forever.
Oh, that's the point. Just talk about it anyway. Okay. So you have Rhapsody. I have Rhapsody too. What's Rhapsody?
Rhapsody is a music app that you can create an account for, and then you go in and put like Stevie Nicks search for. And they'll put up all the songs that they can find on Stevie Nicks, and then you can have a playlist and just play them. Or you can look for specific songs and artists. Or they do these like tracks where it's like new songs for the month, or like they did Guardians of the Galaxy came out. They did a Guardian of the Galaxy's 1, 2, and 3 playlist of songs that were represented from that time frame and stuff. So they were on the movie. So, you know, I mean, there's stuff like that. But you want to talk about Evernote.
Okay. Yes, I'm using Evernote right now. And Evernote is a good app for, you know, note-taking and everything. What's good about it is if you're using Evernote, it's available in Android. It's available in iOS, iPad. It's also available on the web, on your laptop. So you can access your notes securely. And you can access it anywhere. And I decided to use that instead of the iOS notes, because iOS notes is only for iOS. You can't read it. You can't use... you cannot use... What is the other phone? Android. You cannot use it over Android. So Evernote is a lot better. For free, that's what I'm using right now. The free account would be, you'll get 60 megabytes of data because it's for note taking. If you take notes, you know, notes and everything, it's even less than, it could be 1 kilobyte or 2 kilobytes maybe because of text. Because you're just taking down notes. Yeah. Here you have 60 megabytes free, and it will take you probably a few years just to finish that. I've had it for many years now, and I still haven't filled up. I haven't even reached 1 megabyte of text data, so it's pretty good. So yeah, Evernote. If you have Evernote, go use it. All right, so I guess that concludes the show. And So thank you everyone for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you'd like to call and leave us a voice message, like, Brian. Excuse me. I'm trying to choke over here on my own spit. If you'd like to call and leave us a voice message like Brian, and then we can play on the show or just say hi, please call us at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes. Leave your voice message and we can play it in the show. And then you can subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can catch the show, or the audio show, on Bear Radio Network and also on Stitcher Radio. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.